You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Like it or hate it, Valentine's Day is here, and I mean right now. And although for some it's a convenient opportunity to show a loved one how much they care, for many of us it can be a social minefield. Luckily for the show, New York Times Social Cues columnist Philip Galanis has stopped by to help us navigate the day, from how to market appropriately to how to handle awkward encounters. And if you have a question or a dilemma you'd like to work through, you can call us at 212-433-9692. You can leave a comment on our show page, find us on Facebook, or tweet us. Our handle is at Leonard Lopate. All one word, and we will understand if you want to remain anonymous, or you can always use the convenient, you're asking for a friend. Welcome back to the show, Philip.
Thank you very much, Leonard. I'm very happy to be here on today of all days.
Is Valentine's Day a day you look forward to?
It is a bulging mailbag day at Social Cues, Valentine's Day.
Well, we'll probably get a batch of calls. We've already gotten some questions on our show page. People have been writing in, but we'll mix them in. First, what would you suggest to people who are listening and they've just suddenly been reminded that it's Valentine's Day?
I guess they do not live anywhere near a florist.
Watch TV, because there's a slew of TV ads recently for very expensive jewelry.
That's a good bling as a present for any holiday. I want us to pay attention to one thing as we listen to all these people today who've written to us and who will call in. I think the fascinating thing about Valentine's Day that I've started noticing writing this column is that it is the day when people fixate on what is missing from their lives. Single people, widows, people who are in relationships, married people. And it reminds me of when I was a kid, and my birthday was a day that I looked forward to so hard. And every single birthday at the end of the day, I think I went to bed in tears or near tears, because it couldn't be what I needed it to be.
What kind of expectations do you think people have? I mean, often they wind up getting the very generic gift, the chocolate, the roses, which seem to me to be perfectly fine. But how much significance do people attach to this?
I think people attach a tremendous amount, and our fantasies are so all tied up with, you know, romantic comedies from the, you know, from bygone days of the 20th take, when the unexpected perfect gift was handed over and your heart was about to burst with love. And, you know, it's very, very hard for a poor guy who's been at the office all day to come home and give you Rock Hudson's performance from, you know, Pillow Talk. He's working hard for the money, poor guy.
Well, also, if you do try a creative gift, that carries the risk of missing the mark. You don't know what the other person's expecting.
It does, but if you are listening to this show right now and your boyfriend or girlfriend, you have not shopped for him or her, and you're just thinking about it now, make something. Even if it misses the mark, it'll be better than some generic heart-shaped box of cheap chocolate.
Write a poem.
Exactly. Well, that would be really something. Or maybe crib a poem, but write it in your very best handwriting.
Shelley left this question on our show page. Is it bad professional etiquette to have flowers delivered to one's sweetheart at the office?
Now, that's very interesting, because it's very close to an email that I got last night after I announced that I'd be on the show. A woman said, took the answer, answered Shelley's question in a way that surprised me. Don't my coworkers think of how I might feel as a recently divorced woman to have 3 dozen red rose, long-stemmed roses delivered to my desk? It's horrible. Now, I wouldn't think it was so horrible. I think we've got to figure out how to help people like the widow or the recently divorced woman figure out that it doesn't need to be, you know, it doesn't need to be Fabio or whoever the world, Bradley Cooper, whoever the world's sexiest man is, giving us the rose. But there is surely someone in our lives that we can give something to and accept something from and have it be a wonderful day.
Are you talking about Bradley Cooper when he's playing a crazy person? Or when
exactly.
Don't
get me started on that movie. Please, please.
Okay, but what happens when you're the person who's sitting next to the person who gets 3 dozen roses and nobody's sending you any
and
roses?
No one's sending you anything. Well, you know something? Nobody's sending you anything, but I bet you have a great best friend like Rhoda on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, or your sister or your brother or your friend from college. We can't all have everything all at the same time. And so to answer Shelley, I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with delivering, especially in New York. I mean, what are our alternatives? Not very few people have doormen, or and people who live in houses can't be, you know, delivery at the office is pretty darn easy.
Our number is 212-433-9692 if you want to join in the conversation. How important is this holiday? Other cultures have picked it up. Do you see it as the equivalent of Mother's Day?
No, I don't see it as the equivalent of Mother's Day. I bet more money is spent today than on Mother's Day, but I think that it is a holiday that many people simply roll their eyes at, and it's after you've been in a relationship for a number of years, it feels to me like the urgency of the day isn't so ramped up.
On the other hand, there are people who feel that Valentine's Day can work as a barometer for the state of their relationship.
Well, again, that's exactly right. What's missing? Am I panting at the door for my wife to come home? Is the prospect of going to a really expensive prefix dinner somewhere in Midtown going to be everything I dreamed of? And if my boyfriend or girlfriend doesn't offer me that, does it mean that she doesn't care?
Is there a way that you can state your Valentine's Day expectations without coming across as demanding or needy?
I think that I would love to say yes to that, but I think that just exactly the wrong kind of person would take that advice up and do it. I think in certain instances, one of the letters that came in to me was very funny about Valentine's Day. It was from a woman, and her boyfriend borrows her car. And she said that she would like to tell him that the only thing she wanted for Valentine's Day, paren, and I'm willing to throw in my birthday too, paren, is if he does not leave the radio on Rush Limbaugh when he turns the car off. And I totally gave her the green light. I thought she should absolutely go for it. But mostly young relationships, I mean, it can be hard in a new relationship. If you just started seeing someone at the end of the year, and so you've been going out for 2 or 3 months, is Valentine's Day something, you know, that's going to be a big deal for you, or is it going to be a small deal for you? And, you know, a little casual conversation can sort of help that along, you know, figuring out if you're going to per se or you're going to the, you know, if you're going to go to the really nice little bistro on the corner.
I wonder if that woman would prefer that he just, after he listens to Rush Limbaugh, just switches over to public radio and then turns off the car.
That's all she wants. That's all she wants. And I think that I also told her, of course, Leonard, that she could download podcasts of your show and never have to turn on her radio. She could just listen to them that way.
A listener just tweeted us, said, love Social Cues column. V-Day is already a success with homemade card. Another listener, so
thank
nice.
You. Thank you very much.
Damon in Manhattan asks, should flowers on a Valentine's Day gift be sent to your mother and or your sister?
Let me tell you a mother story. Here was a question that came in. First, the good news. I just got engaged. Now, for the bad news, my fiancé typically spends Valentine's Day with his divorced mother. He's asked me to join them, so it would be dinner for three, a romantic dinner for three, And she said, I would feel too pathetic to attend this dinner. Should I go, make up an excuse, or tell him, or the boy, the fiancé, about his clearly very deep-seated mother issues? And I think she should just absolutely go.
And I would say the same.
Good.
And I would say you can have that romantic dinner some other time if you're a good couple.
Absolutely.
You can have the romantic dinner on Saturday or Sunday.
One of the interesting—
He'll appreciate what you've done.
I think he'll appreciate that. And that it can be a wonder. That's exactly right, Leonard. That's a great gift for her to give him.
Now, a listener writes in, even though I'm happily married, why does this day bring back memories of past lovers and wanting to reach out to them?
That's fantastic. You know, there were special moments that we shared with all of those people, and it makes all the sense in the world to me. I would draw the line at actually reaching out, because usually there was a very good reason the relationship ended, usually because of your bad behavior or theirs or some central incompatibility, and it's better to keep those memories in our hearts and just never let an email key be stroked.
On the other side of this coin, a listener had a question about an awkward situation that can happen anytime, running into someone that you dated casually. Should you say hello or not? Ask how the other person's been doing. Just walk past, or is that rude?
Well, I'm not the temperament. It is much harder work for me not to say hello to someone I know, even if I hate them, than it is to pretend I haven't seen them. So I say yes, absolutely say hello. You don't need to stop. You don't need to, you don't need to have a heart-to-heart conversation with them.
But a quick smile.
But a quick smile and a walk on. I think civilization falls apart a little when we don't say hello to people we know.
Let's take a call. Andrea, hi, you're on the air. Andrea from Brooklyn.
Hi. My name's Andrea. I'm in a young relationship. And
what does young mean?
Short. I don't know. We've been dating for like 9 months.
Uh-huh. Okay. In the olden days, people used to get engaged and married after 9 months, Andrea.
Sometimes because
what's
they had to.
Well, what's
I'm
the holdup?
Okay. But I kind of relate to what Philip said about how he focuses so much on an upcoming holiday that he tends to be like underwhelmed at the end of the day. So
that's a good thing for you to know in advance.
I'm approaching Valentine's Day and holidays like from the opposite, like polar opposite viewpoint from my boyfriend. So he like probably doesn't. Like, he doesn't celebrate the holiday at all, whereas, like, I'm, like, I've made a homemade Valentine, and I want to kind of find a way to celebrate, I don't know, like a happy medium, somewhere where we can meet in the middle.
I think that's a great question, Andrea, and I think that it also we're going to answer in the process a question Leonard asked earlier about, is it appropriate to talk about it? Yes. You've been together for 9 months, so you've been through almost a full cycle of holidays with this man who probably has lots of tremendous good qualities. Remember that, or you wouldn't be with him. And in the scheme of things, not celebrating Valentine's Day isn't really that big a flaw. But
Right. There's
no reason for you to feel really sad and disappointed every year at every holiday. So I think, you know, let's see what he does tonight. Let's hope he comes up with something. Then give it a day or two. Don't do it when your feelings are really at the
emotions are high.
Pinnacle of being or the nadir of being hurt. Let's wait a day or two and then talk to him about it, because I think your expectations are totally fair and your feelings are legitimate.
Can I suggest something else?
You'll probably do a better job. Go.
No. Philip, you're the expert. But, Andrea, you can do a nice thing. It seems to me that if you do the right thing, then the message still might come across to him that this is an appropriate way to behave. And so you've made a little dinner, or you've given him a little something. It doesn't have to be something huge, but it's a way of saying to him,
like, doing homemade things and not trying to blow it up. It's just kind of nice to, like, you know,
Is your fear right now that the day is going to come and go, and there's going to be, you're going to hand him the Valentine and there's going to be just nothing there?
I still find some, like, joy in doing that. There's definitely a little bit of, you know, it's kind of a bummer when somebody's not reciprocating.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little break. Is there anything else we want to say to Andrea?
Good luck, Andrea. Yeah. We love you.
And don't forget that this is only your first Valentine's Day. There are many more to come.
Many.
Maybe he'll get the idea and be better next year.
Right.
My guest is Philip Galanis. You can read his Social Cues column every Sunday in the New York Times. And sometimes, Philip, I read some of those letters and I wonder, how does this man not scream when he opens his mail? But that's a whole other issue. Our number here is 212-433-9692. You can also write to us on our show page or on Facebook, or you can tweet us. Our handle is @LeonardLopate. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. We'll be back with more. We are back with Philip Galanis of the New York Times, among other things. You also work as a lawyer?
I do. I work as a lawyer in the entertainment field. And
To probably settle a lot of disputes there as well.
I do. And that is the disputes are usually, there's usually more reason for tears, though less crying.
The Social Cues column appears every Sunday in the New York Times, and you can spot it right away because the Times puts a color behind it so that you won't just think it's another one of those
screened gray,
narcissistic articles that often appear in that section. Kids in school across the country are marking Valentine's Day, too, and for some, that can turn into a popularity contest. What can parents do to help their kids put the holiday in perspective?
That is the best question. And is going to someone, Leonard, who's literally a mother who wrote to us and is waiting to handle a very specific problem with her daughter at the classroom. They have a party after school, and every year the girl has made Valentines for everyone in the class. This year she's turning.
Is a letter you received.
This is a letter, an email that I received last night about the show, and she's listening in, and her daughter is turning 10, and she doesn't want to give a Valentine to these trio of mean girls. And the mother made her do it and said, based on what we said today, she would either deliver all the Valentines or take these three out. I think for as long as we can, as parents, it is great to encourage us to make Valentines for every single kid in the class. And even when you think your kid is maybe a year too old for it in fourth or fifth grade, keep trying, because the resentment is usually something very petty, but the effect on the kid who isn't getting the Valentine can be so huge that I'd really, really encourage moms and dads out there to make it as universal as you can.
Doesn't it also show you're a little classier than the mean kid?
Well, exactly. But that's an argument that a 10-year-old might not, you know, jump onto so quickly. But you certainly could explain to him how it makes him the better person.
We have a caller who has a question along these lines. Hi, Liz. Liz from Brooklyn.
Hi. I was calling for, what would you suggest celebrating Valentine's Day with kids, like teenage and preteen kids?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, are you the homebody type? Do you like to bake and make cookies and things like that?
I like to. Don't often get a chance to.
I grew up in Vermont, and you know what's very popular there, and you could probably do it here. Maybe not in Brooklyn, but if you lived in Connecticut or out on the island, you could. They used to heat up, and I don't know if this was actually new maple syrup, or they used to heat maple syrup up and serve it over a little bit of snow.
Yeah,
and that was a very big
Valentine
thing.
My kids love that.
Well, there you go. Maybe you could do that with some ice shavings. I'm on a diet, so everything I'm going to come up with is going to involve sugar, I'm afraid,
well,
Liz. Sorry.
I'm making pizza for like the first time in years and years and years.
Well, that's a great thing, too.
Do
that's,
their own.
That's a great idea, too.
But they're kind of like, eh.
They think it's, well, you're their mom and they're teenagers, so of course they're welcome to that period of your life, Liz. You're going to be in it for a few years.
Right.
But I think take the lead, and when I often see kids who are lukewarm to ideas because their parents suggested them, and then they get in the middle of the project and they're loving it. They're loving it.
That's right. That's what I'm hoping. That's
good.
What I'm hoping for.
Good luck.
Thank you for calling us. What about the people who've recently broken up with someone? Is tonight the night when they find themselves drowning in their own sorrows?
Cheap Chardonnay and a box of Whitman chocolates.
Ray Charles singing Drown in My Own Tears.
Exactly. We don't mean to belittle it, but it is a bit of the, I think tonight is a great night for renting a movie or going to the movie theaters. It's a great night for calling a pal up, for getting a drink. But remember, everything passes, including the pain you're having right after the very nasty, sad breakup.
But there are tyranny holidays. This is one of them. Another one is New Year's Eve, where if people find themselves alone on New Year's Eve, they
welcome
can get
to
really
Loserville,
depressed.
Population One. Yeah, exactly. It's very these are very hard. These are hard days. But remember that. Tomorrow's just the 15th, and that is a day where you are free to be yourself again, which is usually a pretty good thing.
My guest is Philip Galanis, who writes the Social Cues column in the Sunday New York Times. We invite your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org. And I have this very intimidating comment from our show page from Sarah, intimidating in that it is incredibly long, but I'll try to rush through it. Sarah left this comment. My boyfriend of 5+ years, 3 years living together, said last fall that he would propose before June. We have a family diamond that he's going to reset into a ring style. We've discussed at length when he came up with a great Valentine's Day weekend plan for us. I thought maybe now was the time, but I just found the diamond still unset, which worries me that June was just something he said to placate me at the time. I have other reasons to worry that he may be a bigger talker than doer, and I have decided a proposal could ease some of my fears in those areas, too, by showing me that he just needs to work on his own schedule, but he will complete tasks he sets his mind to. What are your opinions of relationship ultimatums? Follow through on your promise, or I walk? And if one makes an ultimatum, how do you stick around for months knowing you might leave?
Well, let's start with today is not the day for doing anything. Today is really not the day for doing anything. Let the night play out. And, I think this weekend is your romantic going away trip. I think if someone said 9 months ago that they were getting ready to propose to you, I don't think it would be terrible to say, how are you feeling about that now? That's not an ultimatum, by the way. You can have a discussion
that's
about
an update.
Anything. Exactly. It's a status update. You can have that discussion without making it love me or leave me or marry me or leave me. And we all work on different schedules, and I know lots of couples where one of them will have a 5-year plan and one of them can barely, remember to wake up in time to have breakfast in the morning before he goes off to work. So have a discussion, and I hope it goes well, and try to be calm throughout it, because there's no reason to blow this. You wouldn't be living with him still if you didn't love him. And his simply not responding to this fast enough is not a reason for an explosion. How does that sound?
Sounds okay to me.
Good.
I agree. What about getting back to something we were kind of circling around before, getting a Valentine's Day gift that totally misses the mark, whether it's whether it was attempted to be thoughtful or just simply was something that you know the person picked up on the way home because they remembered,
exactly.
Oh, gee, it's Valentine's Day.
Well, here's my theory about gifts, the gifts that I receive, is that I never have an expectation of a gift. And so anything somebody gives me is something I can say thank you for. And if it's your husband and it's the 15th year in a row that he's come home with one of those single roses and cheap foil, you can have a conversation with him, but don't do it tonight because, you know, for better or worse, he thought that was a good idea somehow. And so, you know, I think I liked Leonard's point earlier when he talked about be the change you want to see happen. So if you'd like to get a more thoughtful category class of gift, give a more thoughtful class of gift and see if your recipient ups his game.
Patty from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
No.
Hello, Patty.
Hi, hold on. Hello, let me close that. Hello. Yeah, hi. Sorry. I'm the other one. Yes, my question is that I'm happily married, and my husband and I love Valentine's Day for ourselves, but when I was single, it was the worst day of the year. And I think for a lot of my friends who feel like they really would love to have someone in their life, it's very hard. I would love to see Valentine's become more of a random act of kindness day where people are encouraged to do something loving for someone else rather than just this emphasis on romance, because it's always, like you said, more than you can actually meet the expectation of.
That's a great point. You should write to the president and see if he'll put it in the State of the Union next year.
A listener writes, what would you suggest for the person who's the target of inappropriate flirting, like a friend's boyfriend or the wife of a sibling? Is there any way to put a stop to it?
Well, you know, the Valentines that I tend to give now, I've had the same partner for 16 years, and we don't really exchange Valentine presents. We might do, you know, it would be very, very little. The Valentines that I like giving now are the little people that, you know, the people that I work with that I have, you know, I've gotten to know them.
You don't call them little people, Philip.
I mean, the people, the relationships are little. The people that are, the people that I walk by, you know, the woman who helps me at the coffee place in the morning. I gave her a Valentine this morning. I think those are the Valentines that are fun to give. That's a serious problem. I don't think that I'm not talking about giving Valentines to friends, you know, other people's partners that and hoping something might come of it. I think you can say, if you are the recipient of them, you could say, thank you very much, but, you know, this doesn't feel appropriate to me. And give it back maybe, or keep it and just let them know that the next time you'd really rather not receive one.
Leslie from Rockland County, hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I was just calling to tell you about an interesting Valentine's gift I once received when I was young, much younger, in my 20s, and I was dating a man much older than myself. And for Valentine's Day, he sent me a skateboard, and attached to the skateboard, wrapped in ribbons, was a bottle of Chanel No. 5. And the card that went with it said, when I think of you, it's with mixed emotions.
Oh, I'm not sure that was a loving thing, but no. I think he would have said, I love you. I'll love you as a because you're young, and I love you because you're grown up or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was very clever and wonderful. I'm sorry, your interpretation is different from mine.
but are you still with this man?
No.
Oh, it's good that it's over. I'm sorry. It's good that it's over.
I also wanted to say that I love receiving roses on Valentine's Day. It's the one holiday where I really like the convention of it. And I'm always very appreciative when I receive
roses. That's terrific. Terrific.
Where do those roses come from? Do we know? Aren't they from South America?
They're the least green plant in the world. Every one of those roses is wasting and depleting our world's resources terribly. But I'm glad you like them, and I kind of like them too.
Charlotte in Brooklyn suggests give anonymous chocolate. I buy wrapped chocolate hearts and hand them out all day long to the guy in the token booth, to the crossing guard who greets me, to the bus driver, to strangers at cashier counters, to gym class companions. And when I was working in an office, I used to tiptoe around at lunchtime and leave the hearts at random desks. This always brings a smile to faces, and it makes me grin too.
That's terrific. If people are very trusting, they might even open them and eat them.
Now, we're pretty much out of time, but I thought I'd end on a sour note.
Good.
Daniel in Queens says, what should I say or do when I have a great partner and so wonderful, but sometimes I still catch her lying to me? Nothing big or serious, I hope, but she still lies to me. What should I say or do? It's my thought you're going to say not today.
Well, I think that's probably right, not today, but people lie. I'm glad you could say, Daniel, you can see that she's a great person, because people lie for all kinds of reasons. To try to make themselves feel better about themselves, or make them seem more important in your eyes. Why don't you try to find out what it's about over dinner one night by asking, you know, here's an example of something that made me a little uncomfortable. Why do you think that happened? And see where you get to. But for tonight, just give her lots of roses and chocolate.
But
and
should he use the word lie? You got around lie. Here's something that happened that made me uncomfortable.
I mean, I don't know if she's saying, last night I had dinner with Liza Minnelli, or if she's saying, last night I had dinner with friends and was really out seeing a secret boyfriend. So there are lots of... there's a range.
Or
hopefully it's on the shallow end of the pool.
We're going to sneak one more call in here. Molly from Brooklyn, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, love your show. I just had a quick question for your guest about managing expectations and feelings about gifts. And really quickly, it's just, my boyfriend is so sweet. We've lived together 3 years. He's amazing. I want us to get married. He knows that. And he always gets me the same kind of gift, which are expensive and very nice, but all I really want is just more communication from him. And it's hard to say that when someone gives you a beautiful gift, but
it won't be.
I kind of just want to know, how should I manage that?
Well, I think you can manage
without hurting his feelings.
I think you can manage it. I think when you thank, even that, this is one. Let's try to see how you feel about doing this tonight. When he hands you an Hermes scarf or something really super fancy, and you say, thank you so much, but you know, I love it, and I'll think of you every time I wear it, which makes me happy, but what I'd really like is for us to spend more time with each other at dinner. I'd like us to be at dinner together more and talking more about our days and how we feel about things. It's hard for guys, some guys. And I think you've got to lead him the way. I mean, my mom led my dad around that when it came to things like this. And I know lots of women who are in this position. And I bet you sound like a sensitive person. I bet you could do it really well without making him feel bad.
Molly, is he the kind of person who just finds it hard to talk about his feelings? Or do you think
it's
part of your relationship?
I think it's part of, he's such a sensitive person, a really sweet person, so generous and thoughtful. But so I feel almost guilty just being like, I want more. I want more emotion.
And are you a good question asker?
I think so. I think so. I think sometimes I just try not to push it, and I don't want to bother him because he's
so
very busy and stressed.
We'll start pushing, especially on the weekends.
In a loving way.
In a loving
way. Thank you.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And you too.
Thanks,
Molly. And thank you so much for ending us on that note. And Philip Galanis, I suspect you'll be back really soon, because we love it when you're on the show.
I love to come here, Leonard, so thank you.
Meanwhile, you can read his Social Cues column in the Sunday New York Times. Find out just how crazy some people are. You must be stunned. Thank you so much for being on our show.
My pleasure.